When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
ESNY. So, how much drinking have you done the past couple of days?
You mean for Aaron Judge or just for this miserable, sorry state that my New York Rangers are in?
Okay, well, what's going on, folks? This is Bleacher Creatures episode 151, or Alex's latest sports therapy session, brought to you as always by Elite Sports NY, the voice, the pulse of New York City sports, part of XL Media, Crossing Broad, Warwick Gaming, and as always, Rivercrest NYC. All right, so the Aaron Judge free agency, rip it off right now. 9 years, $360 million to stay with the Yankees. But 3 years ago, you recall this time last year, it was the winter meetings. They were also in San Diego. And Gerrit Cole was the big fish, but everyone kind of knew, like, nah, like Gerrit Cole's going to the Yankees. Like, it's fine. Like, we just got to wait. Gerrit Cole's going to the Yankees. This time, it was very stressful.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know if I can say it was very stressful, but it was just, like, very dire, you know? Like, the future of the organization and of the Yankees was hinging upon this one decision. And, you know, the future might still depend on it, depending how these next 9 years play out with Judge. But
as I burp into the microphone.
Yeah, there you go. But, yeah, I mean, it's I feel like even with Aaron Judge signed that we're still entering a very unknown period of Yankees baseball.
It's unknown just because they're kind of telegraphing they're not done making moves. I mean, even before Judge was signed, I think it was Ken Rosenthal who said that Brian Cashman was actively shopping Aaron Hicks and Josh Donaldson, even offering to include money in the deal, even take on more money coming back, which it's not something you want to do, especially just admit like two of your biggest mistakes as a general manager in like 25 years on the job. But at the same token, Alec, it's like the Yankees still need a left fielder. It wouldn't hurt to add another arm. Like this between the story of Hal Steinbrenner closing the deal with Judge, it's out the Yankees are kind of acting like the Yankees again.
Yeah, it definitely has that feeling that they're not going to get outbid for a player that they want.
Yeah.
I thought the bringing back Hanley was a smart move.
Tommy tight pants.
So, yeah, like it's got that feel that at least Steinbrenner seems like he's sick and tired of the way things have gone as for the New York Yankees over the last couple of years, and he's kind of channeling his George a little bit.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, like there's still so much that needs to be done. It's, you know, do the Yankees make a play for a guy like Dansby? You know, Andrew Benintendi is still out there. Go get him, like, you know, bring him back. You know, I think the biggest thing I want to see is the Yankees make a play for a lefty bat who can be a table setter, who will either be at the top of the lineup to set up for guys like Judge, like Stanton, like Rizzo, or a guy who's going to hit sixth or seventh and help flip the lineup around and make it to where the lineup is that much deeper. Because, you know, re-signing Judge feels like such a win because, you know, we kept our star outfielder and, you know, potential future Hall of Famer. But if the offseason ends today, this team is no different than what it was when it got swept out of the ALCS. In fact, one could argue might be a little bit worse because, you know, you lose Tyone. And so
how about the money Tyone got from the Cubs? $17 million a year for 4 years. Go get it.
Yeah, go for it. Yeah, good for him. I've, you know, was it 2 Tommy John surgeries and a cancer diagnosis?
Yeah, 2 Tommy Johns, cancer. I think there was like a shoulder mixed in somewhere.
Yeah, completely revamped his mechanics. I mean, good for him. I'm happy for him. I'm sad to see him leave because I really did like him as a Yankee.
Yeah, I would have liked to see him come back. It sounds like, though, even though he's going to the Cubs, it seems like he's still going to live up here because I don't know if you've been looking at his Instagram. He's been spending a lot of time in your old stomping grounds, the Hudson Valley.
Oh, really? No, yeah, I don't follow him on Instagram.
He's been working with I think it's Hudson Distillery.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Something like that. Yeah, we always knew he was a big whiskey drinker, but I'm guessing that's something he wants to do maybe after retirement. But like we're saying, though, that you're right. The Yankees do need to make moves. I don't think Dansby Swanson's going to be the guy. I mean, that would certainly be a surprise if he was.
Yeah.
Because you have to figure if they sign Dansby Swanson, maybe the plan is to move him to third base at some point.
Yeah, I'm like, I just threw kind of his name out there as if they want to do something that's really, like, big and shocking. And, like, I feel like if they've jumped on him, that would be like, oh, the Yankees are definitely back. Not that they need him with what's in the pipeline.
Benintendi, I think, is absolutely going to come back at this point just because his market has been very quiet. Otherwise, the Astros have checked in. I think the Cubs did their due diligence as well. Hold on. We got a little breaking news here. Oh, the Mets are in agreement with Brandon Nimmo per John Heyman.
You
ready for just the Mets?
Oh, God.
8 years, $162 million for Brandon Nimmo. Brandon Nimmo's going to make $20 million a year.
You know, I like Nimmo. I like the kind of hitter that he is. But $20 million a year, oh, man, yeah. That's
a lot for a leadoff center fielder who has some injury issues and like he can hit, but not like hit.
Yeah, I'm like he just puts together good at bats. And I think he would have been a really good fit on a team like the Yankees. Just like because again, he brings that table setting dynamic and it's just something a little bit different than what the Yankees are, which is, you know, right-handed dominant and power centric. But yeah, I don't think for $162 million, I'd want him on the team.
That's a massive overpay. That reeks of Jacoby Ellsbury to me. Andrew Benintendi is not going to be getting that kind of money, not even close to it. Like granted with the Yankees, he showed some of the gap power he had with the Red Sox at certain points. But no, I think that Andrew Benintendi on a 3, maybe a modest 4-year deal to come back and man left field, play center as needed, that would be a great pickup for the Yankees because we've talked, like, Esteban Florial is not the guy.
Yeah.
Too much time in development limbo.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say another guy who had his opportunity wasted by, you know, yo-yoing back and forth.
Clark Schmidt, too.
Yeah. You know, it's...
The difference being Clark Schmidt, I think still he can be a valuable relief pitcher at somewhere down the road.
Yeah.
Like starting middle relief, maybe graduating to setup, closer. You give him an opportunity, he'll find his niche.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But keep on with the bullpen. I think that bringing Tommy Cailey back, I remember I wrote an article saying, okay, I don't think it's going to happen, but it'd be fun if it did. Sure enough, 2 years, I think like $14.5 million, something like that. Now all of a sudden you have a guy who, again, I don't know where in the bullpen picture he's going to factor into, man. But he gives Boone options. He's, okay, we have not just a bridge to Holmes, assuming Clay Holmes is the closer, but you now have various ways to build the bridge so that you can sort of modify your bullpen budget and not worry about guys getting overworked.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, let's see. He pitched in 12 innings this year, struck out 14, had a modest 2.84 ERA. I'm like, the dude, I think, is very much still a effective pitcher. And I think, you know, he'll be a key component. Him and, like, Marinaccio will be really good against opposing lefties.
That's two guys in the bullpen who have changeups that just destroy lefties. And then to top it all off, you still have Wandy Peralta.
Yeah, I mean, and it's not even just like the changeups that destroy lefties. I mean, they're effective pitches to lefties and righties. So, you know, I was really happy to see him back, obviously, because I think he'll do good things for the clubhouse. You know, he's familiar with some of the guys still there. He'll bring really good energy and some levity, especially during the stretch. But yeah, I like his acquisition for sure. You know, but there's still more work that needs to be done, and I hope Cashman doesn't just rest on his laurels after getting the big fish.
I gotta read this morning ESPN, but apparently we briefly discussed Masataka Yoshida, the Oryx Buffalo's Japanese star who recently signed a 5-year, $90 million deal with the Red Sox. And if you add the posting fee, that makes it about $100 million. Now, we've talked before, when it comes to Japanese players in Major League Baseball, fortune favors the pitchers. There's been 64 players to come over, 19 hitters, 3 good ones. Ichiro Suzuki, Hideki Matsui, Shohei Ohtani. Now, for the sake of this conversation, let's just eliminate Ohtani because he's a unicorn, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you had Matsui, who we all remember, 6'2", about 200-something pounds, beautiful lefty swing, like power, could use the whole field. In the prime of his career, he was a threat.
Mm-hmm.
And then similarly, you got Ichiro, who, not a very big guy, but he knows how to get those cheap hits on weak contact, just steal those singles and just become an on-base machine while also allegedly having that 40 home run power. So where's Yoshida fit in all this? He's listed as 5'9", around 170, so he's definitely more on the Ichiro side. We know that Nippon Professional Baseball, NPB, they have that universal smaller baseball that's kind of sticky, kind of chalky, travels a little better, where we already now know with MLB, they used 3 different balls last year. So is he going to be good? Yeah, I think that Masataka Yoshida can carve out a home in Major League Baseball. But, and he's a 326 hitter in Japan, with had an OPS like a little bit, I think 927, 135 home runs. Now, if the power follows him, great. It's a little bit of an overpay, but it's great. But yeah, if he becomes more of a contact guy, because like that's the thing, he doesn't strike out. He draws walks. He's a big bat to ball guy. But if he's more of a contact hitter in Boston, then okay, at worst, maybe he's Andrew Benintendi. But then you just paid over $100 million for Andrew Benintendi.
Yeah. From everything that I've heard, the dude has elite bat to ball skills.
Sure.
And I do wonder how that's going to translate to major league pitching. But that the dude just gets on base, like, not gonna lie. And you've heard me say it, I would have loved to have him on the Yankees, at least that kind of player. But yeah, I was just reading an article from Alex Spire in the Boston Globe. And yeah, there's kind of confusion going on in Boston about what the game plan is there, because you sign Matt Yoshida to that contract and then you let Xander go, and it's just it's head scratching.
I mean, letting Xander go, the Red Sox at least have the excuse of having Marcelo Meyer down on the farm, and now they could say, okay, we're going to pivot and re-sign Rafael Devers, but I don't know, Alec, just looking at the state of the AL East right now, even though the Yankees still have work to do, and on paper they're a worse team than last year, we could even say, I still think fortune's got to favor them in terms of winning the division.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think the benefit should always go to the team that has done it recently, right?
Yeah.
But the Yankees have won the division. Therefore, it is their division to lose. You know, we all know what teams are capable of doing.
Yeah.
And like, obviously I think the biggest threat this upcoming season is going to be Toronto. But their pitching remains a big question mark. And
yeah,
if the young guns in Toronto are going to replicate the, you know, their best seasons. I mean, you know, I think Vladdy Jr. had a pretty decent year last year, but it was nothing like his MVP runner-up season. So, Yeah, I mean, the Yankees are the team to beat in the AL East right now, and it's a good position to be in. But, you know, let's we're not shooting for, you know, regular season titles here. It's about what's at the end of the road.
More Mets news. David Robertson's there now.
Oh, come on.
you ready for this? 1 year, $10 million.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Steve Cohen's just overcompensating now.
What are we doing? David Robertson for $10 million? What was he making with Philly?
Not $10 million. Maybe like the league. He got a minor league deal with the Cubs, and then they traded him to the Phillies. Maybe like $3-4 million last year with incentives, maybe.
Yeah, last year his base salary was 3.5. His payroll salary was 5.1.
Jesus.
My goodness.
It's like Kent Singleton said, there's nothing like being a major league player, right?
Yeah. Jeez.
Let's talk about the Yankees pitching. It's not official yet. We haven't heard anything about the two sides even remotely talking, but based on what Jack Curry's been tweeting and what he's been saying on Yankees Hot Stove, it sounds like Brian Cashman is very interested in the lefty Carlos Rodon. I've been seeing, he's going to get a 6-year contract in the range of 160 to 180. That's the rumor. That seems like a lot for someone who, if you really look at his stats, he's had two good years, and a history of injuries.
Yeah, it's the history of injuries that are definitely very concerning because, you know, I'm looking at his numbers right now. He, you know, between 2015 and 2018, his ERA hovered around the, you know, 4 mark. You know, it didn't get above 4.20. So, like, that's not bad by any means. And like you said, these last 2 years have been the 2 years where he's been at his best. I mean, but this 2022, he threw 178 innings. That's the most innings he's thrown in his entire career. So, you know,
and he had a career year.
And he had it, yeah. I mean,
like,
yeah.
Nestor Light. I'm pretty sure he led the majors in FIP, like 2.25.
Yes, he did. And he led him in strikeouts per 9 innings. He struck out 237 in 178 innings. But yeah, I mean, he's 29 years old. He
only throws 3 pitches.
What's that?
He only throws 3 pitches.
Yeah, I mean, would he be a good piece for the rotation? Absolutely. But I don't know if what he wants out of a contract, I don't know if it's worth dedicating that kind of money to. And it's funny when we say that because, like, you know, people criticize the deal that Judge signed, you know, and I can sit here and criticizing the money that Rodon wants. And really, like, in a vacuum, it's not a problem. It's just the fact that we have bloated contracts like Hicks, like Donaldson, like, you know, even Stanton. And I've been a, you know, supporter and defender of Giancarlo Stanton's tenure as a Yankee. But like, when you take those three contracts into account, all of a sudden it's like, you don't want to be making risky moves like that again. You know, if you can get rid of Hicks and you can get rid of Donaldson, then yeah, maybe take the gamble with Carlos Rodon or whoever. But yeah, I mean, unfortunately, it seems like there's no better options out there if they want to explore the market. I don't know. And I don't know what the trade, you know, pool looks like.
I'll say this much. It, based on the movement of the market this far, because first off, when it comes to Hicks, we know that at some point Brian Cashman is going to make one of his legendary trades that nobody saw coming. And it's going to be a sneaky, good looking move. That's how we lose Hicks. We just have to play the waiting game on that. Maybe Donaldson gets moved too. That's a patience game. But in the immediate, you look at Verlander going to the Mets. You look at Jacob DeGrom and like the 15, 20 starts a year he'll make as he steals money from the Texas Rangers. And the Rangers, you know, like they're apparently also in on Correa, on Swanson. Like they already added Andrew Heaney as well. There's an argument to be made that with Verlander off the Astros, the American League could be the Yankees to lose. And I only say that because I think that Houston royally overachieved in a bad division last year, and because Verlander is just, he's like Judge on the Yankees. He's got that presence in the room.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, it could be the Yankees to lose, but I'll be really interested to see what Seattle does this year. Now that they have a taste of, the postseason push, and you get that year of experience. There is certainly now no team that will actively scare me. Like, the Astros are no longer really actively scare me now that they've lost Verlander. I mean, they still got the two arms who are going to be really good, Javier and Valdez. But, yeah. I think what happened in the postseason this past year against them, the frustration was that the Yankees did a really good job of silencing their bats when they needed to. It was just the Astros had one of the greatest pitching performances in recent postseason memory. I mean,
yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it definitely seems more wide open. A little bit more parity in the American League than maybe in the National League.
Right.
So, yeah, it'll be some exciting stuff.
Let's shift back to the man of the hour, Aaron Judge. The Giants, like, maybe Zaidi, like Farhan Zaidi, their president of baseball ops, is using his experience with the Dodgers to just kind of drive home that point. Hey, like, we got to spend. Like, you want me to bring you want the Giants to go past the Dodgers? You got to spend like the Dodgers.
Yeah.
Because the fact that they offered Judge, like, close to 360. And then we're also, they also added Mitch Haniger for like $45.5 million. They're also apparently talking to Carlos Correa.
Mm-hmm.
So like, could the Giants be for real? Like, were they actually a serious threat this whole time, or was Judge's agent just trying to use them to get to the Yankees? Like, which one was it?
Well, I'll tell you what, I think a lot of the San Francisco Giants fans think they were used. I mean, they're moaning about it like jilted lovers. It's, it's actually kind of hilarious and pathetic at the same time.
Yeah, but we this happens all the time in free agency. The team whose fans get burned, they always accuse, like, oh, we were being used as leverage. We were being used as leverage. Yes, that is how free agency works.
Yeah.
Agents talk to other teams, try to leverage the most amount of money they can get for their client. And I'm sorry Aaron Judge didn't pick the Giants, but you know what? Maybe you should have actually had a plan to build around him and convince him off of that, as opposed to just throwing money at him. So shame on you for not being as sharp as Brian Cashman. Shame on you for being the Dodgers' idiot younger brother again. And shame on you for trying to convince Aaron Judge to play in a ballpark where you take away his opposite field power.
Yeah. Yeah, all valid points. They just refuse to see that. And then they take it personally against Judge. It's like, now they want to call him greedy and shit. And I just don't understand when people are against players getting the bag, because this is, he's getting $400 million. It's chump change compared to what the billion-dollar owners get a year. So, like, look, I get it. It sucks. They probably, drank the Kool-Aid a little too much that was getting served to them by the media about Judge and the Giants. But, the Giants kind of are starting to reek like the Padres, which is they're getting so desperate they'll throw money at anyone.
All my Red Sox fan friends are laughing hysterically at the Padres giving Xander Bogaerts that much money.
Yeah.
Like one of them, my friend Ben, he's like a big Red Sox guy, knows the game, like he's a former sports writer. And he said something like, Bogaerts wasn't even that good last year. He's not that good of a fielder. And on an 11-year deal, you're looking at three, maybe four good years on that contract. Five if you're lucky.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's the same thing with Judge. You're looking at that contract, you're hoping for 3 to 5 years of, maybe not 63 home run or 62 home run.
Oh, yeah. Like, anyone who's expecting Judge to hit like 63 home runs again is deluding themselves.
Yeah. No, absolutely. It's, for Judge, it's let's get 40 home runs a year from here on out and You're a Hall of Famer.
Judge has to, for this contract to be worth it, he has to he has to hit between 30 and 40 home runs a year, consistently touch 100 RBIs, and most importantly, stay healthy.
Yeah, and I think if he stays healthy for, like, you know, I don't think age is going to really break him down too much until probably about year 3 and 4. But, yeah, I mean, like, his 162-game average is 49 home runs. So, you know, there, you know, yes, we say he's probably not going to hit 62 home runs, but, hey, just saying that, you know, he played in however many games hit 52. But, yeah, with Bogaerts, he's not that good of a fielder. Hitting-wise, I don't know how he's going to play in that ballpark.
Oh, yeah, Peck was a lot bigger than Fenway.
I think we might see his doubles come up. You know, he hit 38 doubles this past year. He hit 307. I think those numbers he'll replicate. It's been a really kind of freewheeling market this year. It just seems like owners are just throwing money at anyone and everyone.
It's the expanded playoffs, man. There's more motivation to spend and try to be competitive.
And, you know, and I like that. I do like that. It's just, yeah, I mean, I'm just glad he's out of the division. I'm glad the Yankee killer is no longer there to kill the Yankees.
Yeah.
Man,
Red Sox fans are so salty that Tommy Canley's gone too, or that they missed having Tommy Canley.
Yeah, that Boston Globe article I referenced earlier, apparently Bloom was like shell-shocked when he found out that Bogaerts was gone.
Oh, yeah, he was at the airport, wasn't he?
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, are you lowballed him with the offer?
Yeah, but I can't say I blame him, though, because I just remember watching the bajillion Yankees Red Sox national broadcasts that happened during the season. Like, the way that the media framed the story, or at least that the way the Red Sox framed it, it was like, no, like, Bogaerts wants to come back. We want to have him back. We're going to get the deal. We're going to make it happen. And then you find out they didn't even offer him $200 million.
Yeah. I mean,
low ball upon low ball upon low ball.
Let's hope they do the same thing to Devers.
Oh, God. Yeah, Garrett Cole will be so thankful for that.
All of the Yankee-dom would be.
All right. If you're in the Yankees front office right now, like, what's the top of your priority list? Like, what are the moves that you're going to try and, like, what are the deals that you're going to close?
Like, who specifically, or who, what kind of player I'm targeting?
Specifics.
Probably Benintendi.
Yeah.
Now that Yoshida is off the market and Nimmo got what he got, just like, it's a safe move. Get Benintendi, you know.
Yeah,
he'll be a good complement to that lineup. He'll provide a little bit more balance.
I figure if you have him at the top at the leadoff spot against righties, and then at the bottom you have Harrison Bader, that's a kind of a good way to have almost like that double leadoff strategy that guys go for sometimes.
Yep, absolutely. And then, I don't know what the relief market is, if they can get one more arm.
I don't think we need another reliever. I think Shore and Canley up, that was fine. It's not required that they add another starter. It'd be nice. I'd love that.
I gotta pull up the list of free agents here.
Rodon would be okay, but at the same time, you could give someone like a Domingo Herman, like a Clark Schmidt, that shot at the number 5.
Yeah.
Or you make a play for that Japanese pitcher, Cody Senga.
Oh, that's right. I don't know what. I gotta find out what his is he? What's his deal? What's his story? I haven't really followed up on him.
Who? Oh, Senga?
Yeah.
All right. So Max Greenfield tweeted, like, he's good, but there's some injury history recently. Like, he's had an elbow, a back. All right. Kudai Senga, righty. He's 29, from Japan. SoftBank. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's the Fukuoka SoftBank Hawks where Ohtani played. All right, in 11 years with the Hawks, 104-51, 2.42 ERA. 10 strikeouts per 9 innings, doesn't give up a lot of home runs. Yeah, he's a control guy who can strike out when needed. The only issue is, he's never, his career high in innings is 180.1. And that is from 2019.
Gotcha.
So there's potential, but there's risks.
Yeah.
I mean, at a minimum, he seems more of a sure thing than Kayagawa.
God, Kayagawa.
Dude, I was reading the Yankee years when I was on vacation a couple months ago. Apparently, that was just Cashman and the Steinbrenners trying really hard to get a pitcher because they missed out on Daisuke Matsuzaka. They got Agawa, and apparently all their scouts and like stats guys were like, "Why? He's terrible. Why did you get him?"
Yeah, I'm looking at the free agent list. Like, other than getting like a Benintendi type, I'm not really sold on any of these names, like mainly because a lot of them are just right-handed hitters. Like Brandon Drury is a free agent, and I think I would love to see him try again as a Yankee
now sure.
that his vision is fixed.
Yeah.
But again, you don't need another right-handed bat. So I don't know. Get Benintendi. Maybe there's a market out there in trades that they can explore. You know, but yeah. Just get like one more piece and the right piece. Maybe, hold on. Let me get
that. Oh, Alec has an idea.
I was always a fan of his. Let me just double check. He didn't have that good of a year this year. I was going to say, maybe possibly bring back a Ben Gamel for a bench role as a
lefty. Yeah. I mean, that's certainly.
He hit 232 this year, but the year before he hit 255. So it looks like his numbers are relatively. Yeah, they're pretty much equal. We just got a few more at-bats. But yeah, I mean, I guess there is no big splash move to make now. So just make smart moves.
Yeah, I mean, look, we can say right now that just from re-signing Judge alone, we'll throw the Kaylee reunion in here just for fun. Brian Cashman's had a good offseason. He's done what he had to do. He flexed. He reminded everyone we're still the New York fucking Yankees. And now we kind of gotta wait it out until spring training or until he makes a trade. He's not done making moves. Now we just gotta trust the process, to borrow a Philly term.
Yeah. I guess like I know Brian Reynolds has been talked about a lot. I don't know if a move for him like moves the needle for me. You know, he's a switch hitter, hit 262, 27 home runs.
Still strikes out way too much.
What'd you say?
Strikes out way too much.
Yeah, 141 strikeouts. So, I mean, he's not really the big move either. I mean, last year he had 90 RBIs. He struck out 119. So his strikeouts were up this year compared to the previous year.
I'll say this much: if the Yankees are serious about Brian Reynolds, they should really try and push Hicks because he, first off, Reynolds has requested a trade, so the Pirates have lost all bargaining power. They have lost any right to make serious demands in negotiations, and at the same time, Cashman can say to their front office, "Okay, you are ready to make Brian Reynolds, the highest paid Pirate in team history. Why won't you take on most of Aaron Hicks's contract? Because you were prepared to spend that money then. Why won't you take it on now? You right. have the money."
Yeah.
Now, obviously, a straight up trade for Hicks for Brian Reynolds isn't going to happen. But
again, yeah, you'll have to put a pretty decent prospect there to get him to take that money. Which, you know, maybe in that case, because I don't know, does Reynolds have any controlled years?
Yeah, he's got 2 years of arbitration left.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, that could be a smart complimentary move. I don't think that's the kind of move where it's like, okay, now the offseason is done. But I think there is a move to be made similar to that, you know, where that kind of player or, you know, just depth and role pieces that you can bring in and maybe, you know, like, yeah, just you kind of said it earlier, there's going to be like a magic move that Cashman makes. It's like, go find us the next Gio Urshela again.
Yeah. Go find us a James Paxton.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I mean, we'll see what happens. It's still an interesting time, you know, unsure how to proceed going forward, but at least, you know, the Yankees got their star. They got their career Yankee now. And
most important of all, I don't have to hold you to account for how much you were saying you were going to ditch the Yankees if Judge left.
Yeah. Yeah. You're stuck with me.
So. Yeah.
And all you listeners are stuck with me too. So get used to it.
But will you ever abandon the Rangers?
Dude, I've been close.
Hey, they won their last couple games, all right?
Yes, I know. Hey. It was ugly when they beat the Blues. It was perfect when they beat the Golden Knights. Like, it was an outstanding game. I didn't watch the whole thing because it was 10 o'clock at night
in Vegas.
But you see what happens when you put the kids on the first line? Kaapo Kakko, Lexi Lafreniere, and Filip Hedl all scored in the same game for the first time in their careers. Why? Because they played top 6 minutes and they had confidence. Wow, Gerard Gallant, why is it so fucking hard for you to realize that?
The Yankees Twitter goes Rangers Twitter. Love it.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, folks, that was our very brief Bleacher Creatures episode 151. I'm going to go take a shot at 151 because I am exhausted from this week. I have a 2-year-old. I hate covering West Coast stuff because I don't sleep if that happens. I'm kidding. I love the West Coast. I love going to the West Coast. I'm overdue a trip out there. Oh, but, man, I miss sleep. I miss sleep so much.
Shouldn't have had a kid.
No, I love my daughter. Anyway, folks. Thanks for listening. Go back and listen to the last episode where we had Ken Singleton on. It was a great talk. Had lots of fun baseball stories. We'll hopefully have him back on in the next month or so. We're going to have some other guests on pretty soon, too. And, yeah, we will see you guys soon. Alex, say goodbye.
No.
Bye.